Good morning, Ignacio Community Church. This is becoming the new normal, which I'm not real comfortable with, but I hope it will not be too long before we'll be able to gather again and worship together. It's a good option, and I appreciate the technology. I especially appreciate Don Folsom, who's spending a lot of time helping us to make this better every week, and hopefully that today you won't have any problems with your computers working as we look at today's passage. Now, the last 2 weeks we were celebrating Palm Sunday and Easter, and so we were out of Joshua, but today we're going to be back in Joshua, and we're going to be looking at the second half of the book. We completed the first half of the book of Joshua, chapters 1 through 13, and we were basically dealing with the Israelites coming into the land and preparing for conquest and the conquest of the land. And chapter 12 was a review of that and lists 31 kings there that were conquered during that time. And basically what God had done was fulfill the promise that he'd given to Joshua in chapter 1 when he said to him, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. And so Joshua had seen God complete that, but it was only half of the task that Joshua had been given. He was to conquer the Canaanites, but then he was also to take possession of the land. And Israel had been at war for probably about 7 years, and we'll see that more in the passage today. But they were still all camped at Gilgal, where they had come into the land 7 years before, and they were in a big tent city, and this was not God's plan for them. God had much more in store for them and wanted them to do more. And we see that back in Deuteronomy, where Moses was speaking to the Israelites and had promised them what God was going to do. And he says, the Lord your God will soon bring you into the land he swore to give you when he made a vow to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It is a land with large, prosperous cities that you did not build. The houses will be richly stocked with goods you did not produce. You will draw water from cisterns you did not dig, and you will eat from vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. And so they were promised this land they were going to inherit. But part of the problem, I think the reason that they had not moved into the land, is that there were many Canaanites who were still living in the land, even though they had conquered the main foes and the most powerful enemies. When we look at the beginning of chapter 13, it starts off by saying when Joshua was an old man, and again, we had talked about this a few weeks ago, Joshua was probably between 85 and 110 years old at this time. And the Lord said to him, you are growing old and much of the land remains to be conquered. And so he's telling him that there's a lot of land to be conquered. And this is the territory that remains. And he goes on and describes over the next three or four verses the area along the coastline of Mediterranean where the Philistines were in different groups, and north, the northern part of the nation of Israel, which they were supposed to have. And he doesn't mention a lot of the different cities that were still needing to be conquered. But he talks about the land that needs to still be conquered. And then he goes on and says, though, in verse 6, he says, I myself will drive these people out of the land ahead of the Israelites. So be sure to give this land to Israel as a special possession, just as I have commanded you. Include all this territory as Israel's possession. When you divide this land among the 9 tribes and the half tribe of Manasseh, and again, half the tribe of Manasseh was on the east side of the Jordan River with Gad and Reuben. And so there was left to be divided up and given to this land. And so the Lord reaffirms his promise to drive out the inhabitants of the land. But the Lord's plan was now to have the individual tribes take possession of the land and the cities rather than have the entire Israelite army conquering them. Up to this point, it was Joshua had led Israel after Moses had died. And so for the first time, Israel, since they had left Egypt, would be led not by an individual, but they would be individually responsible, and the tribes would be responsible for the decisions they would make and the actions they would take. They would need to organize by tribe and take the initiative to obey the Lord's leading in conquering the remainder of the land. And this was God's plan all along. The Lord would lead them. The Lord gave the law to Moses, but it would be the responsibility of each person, family, and tribe to follow the law and obey the teachings the Lord had given them. The other thing is, the Lord also said was, he made it clear that the Israelites didn't actually own the land themselves, and they could do anything they wanted to with it. They were to be stewards of God's land. Look at what it says in Leviticus. It says, the land must never be sold on a permanent basis, for the land belongs to me. You are only foreigners and tenant farmers who are working for me. So the Lord only required obedience to his law for the Israelites to inhabit the land. And as long as they honored the Lord with their worship and obedience, he would bless them. He would make the land productive. He would keep the nation at peace with their neighbors. And they were to be able to have that land and possess it. The word inheritance is used over 50 times in the next 9 chapters. And it's a very important word. The fact is, they didn't win their land as spoils of battle, and they didn't purchase the land in a business transaction. It was a gift to be used responsibly. And you know, that hasn't changed for us today. Though people think they work for and earn their possessions, everything we have belongs to the Lord, and he only allows us the privilege to use it. The Bible says this in Psalms. It says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to him. So we need to, just like the Israelites, understand that everything we possess really belongs to the Lord, and we are to be good stewards of it. This includes all of my possessions, my money, my time, my talents, and my abilities. And so as we begin looking at the next 7 chapters and the distribution of the land to the tribes of Israel, there is a lot of repetitive information here. There's a lot of list of territories, and also there's list of cities as it goes through, and it's really repetitive. And so rather than go through chapter by chapter and look at that, I just want to give a overview with a map of what we're looking at. In the map, you can see the Jordan River in the middle of the map there, and you have East Manasseh, Gad, and Reuben on the right side of the map. That was the land that was already given. And now what needed to be distributed was all that's on the left side of the map and how it would happen. And those 7 chapters will actually show how that is to be done. And so we're not going to look at that this morning. But what we want to look at is several important stories, or jewels, I'll call them, in these chapters that I want to emphasize. And they're very good teachings that we can apply to our lives as we look at our lives today. And so the very first one of those teachings that we want to look at this morning comes out of Joshua chapter 13, where it says the Levites were not given an inheritance in the land. Look at these verses along with me. The first verse says this. It says in Joshua 13:14, Moses did not assign any allotment of land to the tribe of Levi. Instead, the Lord had promised them their allotment came from the offerings burnt on the altar to the Lord, the God of Israel. And then at the end of that chapter, it says it again, but Moses gave no allotment of land to the tribe of Levi, for the Lord, the God of Israel, had promised that he himself would be their allotment. The priest received certain portions from the sacrifice as their due when they would sacrifice animals. And both the priest and the Levite shared in special tithes and offerings that the people were commanded to bring. They would be given cities, and we're going to look at that next week. But they were not given allotments of land, and individuals were not given that. The tribe of Levi was to be scattered among all the other tribes in order to devote themselves fully to the serving the Lord. The Lord wanted them to be light and salt in the land as he lived among the people and taught them the law, and the Lord was going to be providing for their physical needs. And again, this is a principle that we need to realize for ourselves today, because in a sense, we are the Levites. We are the priests of the world today. Look at what Peter says for us here. He calls us. It says in 1 Peter 2:9, "You are a chosen people. You are a royal priest. You are a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light." And so we see here that we are to be like the Levites. We are to be among the people that we live in and be light and salt and teach them the ways of the Lord. And that is God's plan for the church, just like it was for the Levites and the priests as they were dispersed throughout Israel. And what our focus should be in our lives is what Matthew 6:33 says. He says, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." And so our inheritance is in the Lord as God's special possession. And we're to prioritize our lives to live for the kingdom of God, even though we live in the world. And again, I know that a lot of people are struggling right now financially. I think there are several people in our church that have been laid off from their jobs, and they're just waiting on the Lord to help them. And the government's helping with a little bit, but that is a very small amount when you don't have anything else coming in. But we need to depend on the Lord and trust him that he is going to provide for everything we need. And so that's the first principle, is that the Levites weren't given an inheritance like the rest of Israel. Now I want to look at the second principle this morning, and that is God is faithful in keeping his promises, and we must receive them by, we are to be patient to receive them. I'm going to give three narratives in these chapters of different individuals and peoples that showed how God was faithful to them, but also how they had faith in trusting him to deliver on his promises. The first narrative we find in chapter 13, I'm not going to read it, but I want to just reference it. There is an overall teaching in chapter 13, verse 8 through 13, dealing with the land that had been given to Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh on the east side of the river. They already possessed that. And then he gives the details of that in verses 15 through 32 of chapter 13. But these tribes were already living in their land and had already taken possession of that land. However, there were about 50,000 warriors at our best estimate that from these tribes that for the last 7 years had been a part of the army helping to fight the Canaanites, and they would lead them into battle. And so Joshua, what he's doing with this chapter here is really affirming to them that they can have their inheritance, and he's releasing these soldiers to go home. They're going back to their homes, and they've been warriors for all this time, but now they're going to get to go home. And they had faithfully served the Lord and been obedient for 7 years, and now they get to go home to be with their families and to take up their lives and to live in peace. So that's the first one. The second narrative is that of Caleb. Caleb is the only man besides Joshua that was over 20 years of age when Israel came out of Egypt to get to enter the promised land. He was one of the 12 spies that went into Kadesh Barnea, and he, along with Joshua, came back and gave a good report, and the Lord spared his life and promised him that he would bring him into the land. And it had been 38 years since Kadesh Barnea when they had gone in to the wilderness, and now he had been at war for 7 years. And we look in the narrative, and he approaches his old friend Joshua, and he requests his inheritance. And he receives the land that he had spied out with Joshua 45 years before. Look at the narrative. This is a beautiful narrative that we can look at. It says in chapter 14, A delegation from the tribe of Judah, led by Caleb, came to Joshua at Gilgal. Caleb said to Joshua, "Remember what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, about you and me when we were in Kadesh Barnea? I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land of Canaan. I returned and gave an honest report, but my brothers who went with me frightened the people from entering the promised land. For my part, I wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. So that day, Moses solemnly promised me, 'The land of Canaan on which you were just walking will be your grant of land and that of your descendants forever, because you wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God.' Now, as you can see, the Lord has kept me alive and well, as he promised for all those 45 years since Moses made this promise, even while Israel wandered in the wilderness. Today, I'm 85 years old. I am as strong now as I was when Moses sent me on that journey, and I can still travel and fight as well as I could then. So give me the hill country that the Lord promised me. You will remember that as we scouted, as scouts, we found the descendants of Anak living there in great walled cities. But if the Lord is with me, I will drive them out of the land, just as the Lord had said." I want to mention the descendants of Anak. The inhabitants of the area that Caleb is requesting was the Anakites. And these were huge warriors, one of which we are very familiar with is Goliath, who was almost 10 foot tall. They were probably the strongest and the most powerful warriors in all of the land of Canaan. And here is Caleb, 85 years old. Yet he didn't look for an easy task suited for an old man. He asked Joshua for the most difficult places in all the land of Canaan to conquer. He had spied this land out 45 years ago, and now by faith, he is going to take possession of it. And Caleb's strength was found in verse 9, where it says, "You wholeheartedly followed the Lord." That is where Caleb got his strength. And he did drive them out. And a chapter later, in chapter 15, it says at the end of that passage, "So Joshua blessed Caleb and gave Hebron to him as his portion of the land." And in the next chapter, it says in chapter 15, verse 14, "Caleb drove out the three groups of Anakites, the sons of Anak." So he drove them out of the land. And so his faith in the Lord allowed him to conquer the land. He believed in the promises of God, and he acted on them, and he received his inheritance. And so that's the second example we have of someone who was faithful, who patiently waited for God to fulfill his promise. The third group I want to talk about is a little bit different. These are the daughters of Zelophehad. They too are diligent and trusted the Lord to give them their inheritance. And let me give the narrative as we read it here. In chapter 17, verse 3 through 5, it says this: "Zelophehad had no sons. He only had daughters. These women came to Eleazar the priest, Joshua the son of Nun, and the Israelite leaders and said, 'The Lord commanded Moses to give us a grant of land along with the men of our tribe.' So Joshua gave them a grant of land along with their uncles as the Lord had commanded." You see, the nation of Israel, only the sons would inherit the properties. But because there were no sons to Zelophehad, God saw to it that their families were not to be discriminated against. And Moses had promised these women that they would receive an inheritance. And now the time has come and they are diligent to go before Joshua and Eleazar, the priest, and the leaders, and say, "Moses granted this to us, and we want it." And they received their inheritance as the Lord had promised to give them as well. And so what we see in these three groups of Israelite is the common denominator of obedience and faith. The two and a half tribes had faithfully obeyed the Lord in helping their brothers conquer the land, and now they get to go home to their inheritance. Caleb had waited 45 years to conquer the land, and he was promised, and he conquered it and received his inheritance. The daughters of Zelophehad remembered the promise of Moses, and they acted on their faith and received their inheritance. And so there is, in one sense, in these chapters, a mini hall of faith, like you see in Hebrews chapter 11, of Joshua's generation, who set the example of faithfulness and inherited the promises that God had given them. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have an inheritance from the Lord as well. And Galatians tells us this. It says, "For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ, like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham, and you are his heirs. And God's promise to Abraham belongs to you." And what that means is that when we come to Christ, we have been given an inheritance both here and in heaven. And the promises that God has given us, we need to diligently live out in exhibiting our faith and patiently obeying God as we pursue the kingdom of God here on earth and ultimately in heaven. And Paul, in a few chapters later, exhorts the Galatians here, and he exhorts us. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest, a blessing, if we don't give up. So like two and a half tribes of Israel and Caleb and the daughters of Zelophehad, we should diligently pursue receiving all that we have been given in Christ Jesus. But there are, in these chapters, some not good examples of Israelites that did not fulfill what God wanted them to do. And so our third point is this. Some in Israel did not believe in God's promises and did not act in faith to receive all of their inheritance. They grumble and complain as a result and blame God and others as a result. Look at the verses here as it speaks to these. It says, "Descendants of Joseph came to Joshua and asked, 'Why have you only given us one portion of land as our homeland, when the Lord has blessed us with so many people?' Joshua replied, 'If there are so many of you, and if the hill country of Ephraim is not large enough for you, clear out land for yourselves in the forest where the Perizzites and Rephaites live.' The descendants of Joseph responded, 'It's true that the hill country is not large enough for us, but all the Canaanites in the lowlands have iron chariots, both those in Bethshan and its surrounding settlement and those in the valley of Jezreel. They are too strong for us.' Then Joshua said to the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh, the descendants of Joseph, 'Since you are so large and strong, you will be given more than one portion. The forest of the hill country will be yours as well. Clear as much of the land as you wish and take possession of it, of its farthest corners. And you will drive out the Canaanites from the valleys too, even though they are strong and heavy.'" So we see in the narrative here where the people of Manasseh are bragging about how many of them there are. And they request Joshua to give them more land. They're complaining that the inhabitants, though, are too strong for them to drive out. And so they act like the people of Kadesh Barnea, where they refuse to go in fear. And so Joshua challenges them to trust the Lord and believe the promise that God would drive out the Canaanites ahead of them. And so what we see here is another principle you often see played out, is when we're not trusting God, and we're not walking in obedience to God, we can blame God and others for our situation. And that's what the Ephraimites, or the Manassites, are doing here. The last group that I want to mention this morning were just not diligent in pursuing their inheritance, and they had to be pushed by Joshua. And so our fourth point is some Israelites did not act upon the promise that God had given them and were slow to receiving their inheritance. And we see this narrative take place in chapter 18. Look at verse 1 through 3. Now that the land was under Israelite control, the entire community of Israel gathered at Shiloh to set up the tabernacle. They actually moved the tabernacle from Gilgal to Shiloh, which was in central Israel. But there remained seven tribes who had not yet been allotted their grant of land. So they moved, and yet five of the tribes have been given their allotment, but seven have not. Then Joshua asked them, "How long are you going to wait before taking possession of the remaining land the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has given you?" So the question is, why hadn't those last seven tribes taken possession of their inheritance? Unlike Caleb, the daughters of Zelophehad, these tribes had not taken the initiative to take possession of their inheritance. They had helped fight the battles and defeat the enemy, but now they hesitated to claim their inheritance and enjoy the land that God has given them. Joshua exhorted them to move forward. And the principle we need to look at for ourselves is we need to finish the task that the Lord has given us in order to receive our reward. And I want to just put an emphasis here. We began the process of moving back to build our facility a little over a year ago. And when we meet again, we will be meeting here after 4.5 years of being in Elhi. We'll be back in our new facility, and praise the Lord, we've been able to do it with the finances that we had, and the Lord has been gracious and helped us to use the building fund and complete the first floor of this facility and move home. But just like those Israelites, the work is not finished. There's unfinished space that we need to diligently move to complete, so we'll be able to use this facility for God's glory and to its full capacity. And so the question is, are there things in our lives that need to be completed in order to fulfill God's purpose for our lives? Are the things that you know God wants you to do and you've not done them yet? I would challenge you to make a commitment to complete those at this time. And so as we finish up this passage this morning, we're looking at the land, and all the tribes end up getting their possessions. And you see, as the map shows, where they now have their possession, and they move towards their possession. And you end up in chapter 19, verses 49 through 51. It says, "When they have finished apportioning the land for inheritance by its borders, the sons of Israel gave an inheritance in their midst to Joshua, the son of Nun." And so they finished dividing the land. So the division of the land was completed. The last person to receive their inheritance was Joshua. Joshua made sure everybody else had it, and then he received his inheritance. And so you have bookends in this narrative from chapter 14 through 19 of both Caleb, who was really the very first of the 9.5 tribes to receive his inheritance, and then Joshua, which again shows us how God fulfilled his promise to those two men and all of Israel to give them the land that they were to have. Let's close in a word of prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word that shows us how, even in the very intimate details, you fulfill every promise you've given us. And help us, Lord, to be faithful. Help us to be diligent. Help us not to fall short of all that you have for us as your people. Help us as a church, Lord, as we are preparing to move back and have services here at this new facility. Help us, Lord, to do everything we need to do to where, when that day comes, we'll be able to glorify you with what you have given us. And help us in the months to come also be to be diligent, Lord, to complete this facility where we can use all of the space that you've provided to be able to minister to our community and to our church family. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that we have an inheritance not only here on earth, but we have an inheritance in heaven. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that you've given us. Thank you for every provision you have for us. And help us to be faithful, Lord. In these days of uncertainty, I pray for those that have the COVID-19 virus that you would bring healing to them. I pray that you would put a stop to the death and the people who are being infected. I thank you that La Plata County has not seen a death. And I pray that we would not have any more people become infected. And I pray that sooner than later, we can return back to some normalcy in our lives. But Lord, help us not go back to the complacent normal that we were living. But help us to be diligent, to pursue your kingdom, and to pursue the things you want to accomplish in our lives. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's close this morning with our benediction from Joshua 1:9, and again, it's so applicable for the lives that we're living now. And it says, "This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." I would encourage you to pray together and have communion together wherever you are gathered this morning. And I look forward to seeing you all. And again, if you need anything, please don't hesitate to call me or email me. And if you're new to understanding the Word of God and you have questions, I would be honored to answer those questions for you. And you can get my contact information on our website that's being posted there in front of you. God bless you. Have a wonderful week and look forward to speaking again next Sunday. And hopefully soon we'll be able to gather together. God bless you and goodbye.